Ingabire's arrest, and October 24th will mark the 20th anniversary of Rwanda and Uganda's invasion and occupation of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. KPFA's Anne Garrison filed this report on these intertwined anniversaries.
Victoire Ingabire's international supporters used social media and the hashtags Ingabire Day and Us de Victoire Free to announce that they have named the anniversary of her arrest and imprisonment Ingabire Day. In December 2013, Rwanda's Supreme Court upheld Ingabire's conviction for conspiring with terrorists, encouraging Rwandans to rebel, and genocide ideology, which means challenging Rwanda's constitutionally codified and legally enforced history of the Rwandan massacres of the 1990s. Here is Ingabire speaking in 2010, the year she attempted to run for president against Paul Kagame, but went to prison instead.
I would like you to understand that this trial is politically motivated because I am accused of being a divisionist. For us, where RPF seeds divisionism, we see political pluralism. They have to accept the diversity of our society and see how it can be used positively. It is the only way to end cycles of violence in our country. I am accused of having genocidal ideology. It is a crime that every opponent of this government is accused of. For us, where the Kagame regime seizes genocidal ideology, we see the right of memory and recognition of all the victims because we believe that is the only way to achieve a true reconciliation in our country.
For 22 years, the Rwandan government's radically simplified and decontextualized history of the massacres has been used to justify President Paul Kagame's totalitarian rule in Rwanda. For 20 years, it has been used to justify the U.S.-backed invasion, occupation, and plunder of the immensely resource-rich Democratic Republic of the Congo, despite 22 years of U.N. reports documenting Kagame's army's atrocities in both Rwanda and Congo. Kagame and his partner, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, have claimed that their troops must hunt down Hutu genocide perpetrators who escaped into Congo in 1994. Despite abundant evidence that the troops are really there to seize Congolese territory and plunder Congolese resources. After 10 years of research in Rwanda and Congo, University of Virginia professor Alan Stamm described the Kagame regime's excuse for being in Congo in his lecture at the Ford School of Public Policy, Understanding the Rwandan Genocide.
From 1998 to 2000, the RPF gains control of the eastern Congo all the way to Kisangani, or what is formerly known as Stanleyville. This is the last navigable point on the river coming up from the Atlantic Ocean. As the crow flies, Kisangani is 470 miles from Kigali. By the roads, it's about 800 miles. We interviewed the defense minister and the solicitor general of the Rwandan Supreme Court, and Christian and I asked these guys, what are you guys doing in Kisangani? It's kind of far. It's sort of like going from Washington, D.C. to St. Louis. And he said, well, we have security concerns. There are Hutu militias in the jungle. And we said, yeah, you know, we went there. And we saw them. But you don't have to go to Kisangani to find them. They're 5 miles over the border. So why are you guys 500 miles into the Congo? And there's this long pause. And the Solicitor General is the guy that really lost it. And he says to me, he says, I went to the University of Chicago. I have a master's degree in international relations. I've read Hans Morgenthau. I'm a realist. I know that the United States doesn't give a shit about what we do in this country, in this part of the world. We're going to do what we think we need to do to guarantee our security and wealth. To his words, Christian and I looked at each other. Christian just shaking his head like, I can't believe you just got this man to swear at you. And I was like, wow, this is great. I can't believe this guy just admitted to occupying the eastern third of Africa to enrich him and his buddies.
President Bill Clinton was in power during the Rwandan massacres and during the Rwandan and Ugandan invasions of Congo in 1996 and 1998. Clinton frequently sheds crocodile tears about his so-called failure to intervene in Rwanda, despite documentation that he in fact intervened to make sure that U.S. ally General Paul Kagame won the war and seized power in Rwanda, no matter how high the human cost. In the recent WikiLeaks release of Hillary Clinton campaign chair John Podesta's email, Clinton Foundation staffer Amitabh Desai wrote, quote, Rwandan ambassador said, criticism of Kagame seems to have quieted, partly due to WJC, meaning William Jefferson Clinton, and Blair's unwavering support for Kagame. Rwandan ambassadors said Kagame and Rwanda very much appreciate WJC's, William Jefferson Clinton's, unflinching support. Unquote. In Berkeley, for Pacifica, KPFA and Afrobeat Radio, I'm Ann Garrison.
So, last episode, not last one, the one before that was missing from my Facebook wall. How does that happen? So they don't get away with anything. I'm going to go sample it some more. Crimen solicitationist, but this week is, what does it say, 10-18, 2016, and the heavyweight smackdown award for journalism goes to Ann Garrison, and we just heard her. October 14th, well, I stepped on the anniversary date, 6th anniversary of Victoria Ingabire's arrest, and that sort of like the 20th anniversary of Mr. Bill's invasion of the Congo that Hellbat, his worst half, is sure to carry on because, well, never mind. This is all the endless bad news and horror I can handle at the moment. Rhymes with hell, so let me break in on Chris Rea, The Road to Hell, to talk about the Solicitor General that was just mentioned. So that under Mr. Bill, the Solicitor General is caught red-handed in the smoking gun murders of 10 million in Congo saying that the fact that our puppet Kagame and Museveni, dictators of Uganda and Rwanda, that we restored to minority rule are guilty. Oh, yes, I have that little thing about the Solicitor General. Well, the possibility that they might do the right thing got to be in there, but the Solicitor General didn't even get handed the question because the marshal served William Casey in Getty versus U.S., the first one. So I know a little about Solicitor Generals, not so much the details of that other Solicitor General, but in 1985, I did file service on William Casey. Well, I filed a federal case against William Casey based on the taxpayer standing and the Denial of Protection and Civil Rights Act of 1861, citing Robert E. Lee's case against the U.S. And all but, oh, not to give any smoke up his ass, but...
This is the road. This is the road.
God, these emails are crispy. How gloomy. Can we get out of the gloom here?
Got my game from the Mission to the Mo. I rep the whole city though, entirely. Every turn from Frisco inspired me to the Black Hole Swamp and HP, Army Street, VG's and Hay Street, to the Hill Lake View and the avenues. Something about that San Fran attitude. I got love for, it's unconditional. We need to unify free Mac Minister. Minister my business up and show the industry that we hit till they pull this history. We made history with four at the Players Club. 11-5, so everybody light your back up. And Coop Nut to me changed the rap game. Made y'all respect the way San Fran came. Yeah, this the West. To the day that I pass, I'ma rep SF. That's what we do.
I'm the heart and soul of Frisco City.
Yeah, it's the 411 born and raised in the SFC. Hey, that's how we do.
I'm
it's
the heart Frisco and soul of Frisco City.
We can take it back like the Willie Mays catches. The fun center, the same planet. Mission is war, but you can see break dances. Walking through the tenderloin, you take chances. Watch out, they say it's coming. You feel the big earthquake, but it's gonna take more to leave my birthplace. They can fix you on the all take cover. I'm screaming out, this my city like K-Dub. These other cities couldn't match the scope. Back when JT dropped dang good dope. You know, out here, don't no one got the same flow. Though they try to stereotype us with the rainbow. Best crab in the nation, hands down. A Benihana's is right up in Japan's hand. And never forget what our fam been through. Cause like saying when the hustle continues. Yeah, this the West. Till the day that I pass, I'ma rep SF. That's what we do.
I'm the heart and soul of Frisco City.
Yeah, it's the 411. Born and raised in the SFC. That's how we do.
I'm the heart and soul of Frisco City.
Yeah, I learned poetry from UEMC. RVL taught me about Vera Wee. Respect to all the OGs. Producers that have paved the way like TC. Yeah. Learn a thing or two when you want forces. Make you feel right at home if you a tourist. Hit Broadway and you can see the rivers. It's okay from a myth to predictor. Cushion and swisher, yeah, the streets talking. I keep popping to the day they free Oakland. Remember Japantown, Moe and Copeland. Hard put, and doggy down up by ocean. Drive-in deal on Geneva was a car show. And up ahead before me, but was Mars Bowl. I stay reppin' all across the globe for show and bring it right back home to the stove. You know, yeah. This the West. To the day that I pass, I'ma rep SF. That's what we do.
I'm the heart and soul of Frisco City.
Yeah, it's the 411. Born and raised in the SFC. That's how we do.
I'm the heart and soul of Frisco City.
JBD, Hard Time Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Heart and Soul, Frisco City, brought to you by our guest this afternoon, Equipto, the man who definitely represents the city and county by the bay. And there's a lot going on, the city by the bay. And there's a lot going on for Alex Nieto, and saw him to be suspicious. Let's talk about that, because this is not the San Francisco that many people grew up with. This is not the San Francisco that I know you were repping in that song that we just played.
Right.
The tone has changed a lot. Talk about Alex, people seeing him as being suspicious in his own neighborhood, and a police force that rushes and without even questioning shoots him, even though he's a guy who was basically studying to go into law enforcement.
Right. I mean, this is, it's ridiculous, really. I mean, you know, you think of the law enforcement and the people of color that are in there, you know, and the, even the gay officers and all them that are not speaking up and having no type of voice of any type of wrongful doing. I mean, you know, they brag, the police officer, the SFPD brag of how they're trying to get people of the community actually to become police officers, you know, and it's a problem because to me, anyone that wants to become a police officer, period, there's something wrong, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not really trying to serve and protect the community. Now, Bernal Heights, like I said, where I was born and raised, it's a Latino community. We would, back in the days, it'd be suspicious to see a hipster, a white dude out here, walking his wolf-like dog, you know? That would be suspicious. So, what they're trying to do, just like we talked earlier the other day about state and how they're trying to get rid of ethnic studies and things like that, basically they're trying to get rid of ethnic people. And that's what's going on. They're like you said, they're pulling up, they're just pulling out their pistols and shooting on site. This is, you know, it's a cop that's with a rookie cop showing him the ropes. That's what was going on. And Roger Morse was showing this youngster the ropes of how you're supposed to treat brown people in their own community, that just because they have a niner jacket. Now, it's a fear of what's going on. That's what the call came from, someone obviously in fear of just people of color that are in their own neighborhood and they don't even know it themselves. Because, like you said, we're dealing with a lot of trans.
Or Alex Nieto.
EJ Miles, you just lost your place. So, I was having to hit pause, and anyway, I was going to go to jump this.
History of people in their inner circle dying under mysterious circumstances. And since this 2016 election cycle began, at least three more people with connections to Bill and Hillary have joined that list, sparking a renewed interest in the so-called body count of people who allegedly got in the way of the Clinton machine.
Remember John F. Kennedy Jr.? He was declared the front runner for the New York Senate seat back in 1999. Days later, his plane crashed into the Atlantic Ocean, and his rival, Hillary Clinton, was elected senator. Mary Mahoney was a Clinton White House intern. She knew enough of the inner workings of Bill's sexual advancements to be a star witness during the Clinton impeachment trials. She was brutally executed at a Starbucks she was managing in 1997. In 1993, White House counsel Vince Foster was found dead in Fort Marcy Park near D.C. He supposedly killed himself, and among a lengthy list of potential foul play, the bullet was never found.
Then there's James McDougal, a key witness for White House prosecutors. He was serving his three-year sentence for bank fraud at the Fort Worth Federal Medical Center in Texas. And just before he was to give a testimony before the grand jury, McDougal suffered a heart attack in solitary confinement.
In 2015, Walter Scheib, a White House chef hired under Bill Clinton, joined the list. His body was found at the bottom of a river, nearly 2 miles from the base of the trail he was reportedly hiking. An autopsy determined that Scheib's death was accidental drowning, but he might have known too much. 27-year-old Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich was shot and killed in D.C. this year. There is speculation that he was the source of the controversial leaked emails allegedly sent by DNC staffers, and that he may have been murdered in retaliation. Then Sean Lucas, the lead attorney in a fraud case against the DNC, was found lying on the bathroom floor by his girlfriend when she returned home on August 2nd. His death was reported classified, pending the results of an autopsy.
To this day, questions remain surrounding these and other deaths of people who were once close to the Clintons. Questions that will likely remain unanswered.
Was the House of Clinton. Life Zeta, LIFEZETTE video. Let me click activity log as long as I'm here conspiring with Zuckerberg. And, well, sometimes it's too confusing for them to succeed, so. We have stepped out of the brink. U.S. Supreme talks with. Okay, I'm really good. I have a star thrower. Oh, no, I'm. Oh, yes. Now, in a situation like this, don't overs. Click, pause. Okay, the Syria campaign presents itself as an impartial, non-political voice for ordinary Syrian citizens that is dedicated to civilian protection. We see ourselves as solidarity organization, Syria campaign, unquote. Strategy director Jaim Sadri told me, we're not being paid by anybody to pursue a particular line. We feel like we've done a really good job about finding out who the frontline activists, doctors, humanitarians are trying to get their word out to the international community. Now, 2 points here before I stumble into the audio part of Max Blumenthal's article. Well, I guess I go all the way to the bottom then, and there you will be, knock on wood. Oh God, there's links and links, and I'll never find my way through them. So let's jump to this one, and maybe in the meantime I will find it. This is the Taylor Report. Knock on wood.
Hi, this is Phil Taylor, host of CIUT Friday Morning. Every Friday morning between 9 a.m.
and they talk
and
about
today,
the Canadian false flag.
Interviews by Daniel Garber, our film critic.
And then I'm going to get into the
by Lynn Slotkin, artist and passionate flag.
The crown and flag genocide
by Philip Conlon. We also discuss the headlines affecting our world. CIUT Friday Morning, we give voice to radio that matters to you.
And that's from Canada, but. Wow, as long as I am stumbling all around here, the very end of the September 27th was it got chopped off because, well, I went over an hour and 20 minutes. I want everything to fit on little audio CDs so they can't crash me. No. Hello? Oh, your volume don't.
Is that the West Coast disappearances are the result of specific racial and political targeting and not random killings. This point was established by an investigation. For instance, a key fact being buried by the government and police inquiry is that the West Coast disappearances are the result of specific racial and political targeting and are not random killings. This point was established by our investigations as early as spring 2003, Exhibit 9. That is, the vast majority of missing Aboriginal women are from matrilineal clan mother-led families that traditionally control the resources and land bases of the different Indian nations. In short, their killing was tantamount to deliberate political assassinations aimed at destroying the remaining traditional leaders of West Coast tribes whose resistance stands in the way of resource-hungry corporations. In that sense, these latest murders are simply the continuation of Canada's long tradition of overt extermination when it comes to Indigenous people. These crimes have an even darker aspect involving satanic ritualism that our work first documented as early as 98 in the course of our inquiry into the Indian residential school system. The so-called Ninth Circle, a Catholic sacrificial cult formed in the 17th century by the Jesuits and still in operation under the directives of the highest level of the Vatican, functioned in the Canadian Indian residential schools from their inception. Exhibit 10. The routine trafficking, torture, and murder of children was practiced in the Anglican United Church Indian schools as well as Catholic ones, and has implicated senior members of the government of the British royal family as well as the churches. Exhibit 11. The same Nine Circle network continues to kill with impunity in church circles today and in West Coast Native communities situated on lands heavily endowed with valuable resources, a fact well established by our research and eyewitnesses. It is clear the same forces behind the theft of Aboriginal land and wealth are ritually killing and trafficking Native children today as part of a general genocidal agenda. 17. Behind its mask of beneficence, as epitomized by its new spin-doctoring Prime Minister Trudeau, Canada is a closed and repressive society that is actively exterminating the remaining non-assimilated Indigenous peoples within its borders. It is doing so according to its foundational genocidal program of 1910. And the 1998 Chrétien Black Ops Directive, and with the active collusion and the interest of Chinese and American resource corporations. As a state-led campaign, this culmination of the Canadian genocide has judicial sanction. This is evident in not only the refusal of any, quote, crown, unquote, court to try or convict any person or agency for genocidal acts, but by the active prosecution by the same courts of anyone who exposes these crimes. In short, there's no avenue like Ramsey Orta doing 4 years, the only person at Eric Garner's murder scene in jail. In short, there is no avenue for relief or justice by victims of this genocide within Canada, its courts, or in the agencies of the United Nations, which have turned their back on the reality of this ongoing crime by Christian Canada. Exhibit 12. Accordingly, these facts indicate that it now falls on the global community to stand upon international law and bring political and economic sanctions against Canada, the Crown of England, the Vatican, and their church and corporate associates for their ongoing crimes against humanity. Canada and these powers are rogue bodies whose actions threaten not only the innocent but the sovereignty and peace of all nations. This threat is evident in the continued standing policy known as Crimen Solicitanus, CrimenSolicitationis, within the Roman Catholic Church that subverts child protection laws and the authority of sovereign governments by requiring that every Catholic in the world protect in-house child abusers and conceal child abuse and trafficking from the police. The Anglican Church of England is governed by the same subversive policy. Exhibit 13. And this is at the top of itccs.org's webpage. It says 0121. Oh, time is up.
CIUT 89.5 FM, the new sound of your city.
Right here, right now, every day. CIUT 89.
Oh, maybe I just need to stumble back to the beginning here. Because...
yesterday, a child came out to wander, caught a dragonfly inside a jar. Fearful, when the sky was full of thunder, and tearful at the falling of a star. The seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go.
And go back to the alternate story. Oh, you lost it. Click the back arrow and you'll find it. Inside the Shadowy PR from, Alzinki. Okay, let's go to the very end of Max Blumenthal's thing that got the Werner von Braun disciples. Never mind. This September 24th, Alzinki formally joined forces. Ha! I did not touch you. Why do you jump on the page? Ads. I get it. Okay. So anyway, the Syrian campaign. We're talking about here. Well, back to what I was reading. The September 24th, Alzinki formally joined forces with.
Important security message.
Your computer has
please been... call the number provided
okay.
as soon as possible.
Leave. Now I'm here. Bye bye. Oh God. Okay, I'm just gonna kill Google. And all close. Oh no. Breakdown in the middle of the mouse report. Ah. And even iTunes is. Island. Oh no. Oh good.
Then the child moved 10 times round the seasons, skated over 10 clear frozen streams,
You can hear the words she wrote as you read a hidden note. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. You're leaving there too soon. Underneath the stairs, and you're giving back some glares to the people who you met, and it's your first cigarette. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. Can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. You're leaving there too soon. Now you say you're leaving home 'cause you want to be alone. Ain't it funny how you feel when you're finding out it's real? Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the Barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon.
Joni Mitchell, and of course she wrote the song for him. And we'll be going up to Canada by way of Sugar Mountain, right here in West.
Let me give you this, one last few ones. Just one more. It's another one on my new album, and it's just kind of about how I like singing with crazy puppers. And you can just like make up your own words, I don't care. I like the sound of your voices. I was feeling master class in love, my id, my anti-entity, and just because it's real to you, it is, did not pretend to me. And did you know my elbow taught me positively everything I never didn't know about double negativity? Have you been unfollowed for misogynistic dickiness? Sitting home alone in a pool of your own stickiness, jerking off to your own tweets, I fought on the shitter, while you insult everybody else for what they write on Twitter. My delivery is speedy. Can you make me feel me? So appealing, medicine with tires and my teeter on the ceiling. The foundation is much uglier than what it is concealing. My delivery is speedy. Can you feel me even in a mid-trip? So appealing, medicine with tires and my teeter on the ceiling. The foundation little bit of Miami advice for when your hand is down your pants and there's a cut between your eyes and she cuffs it the minute you cream your jeans. Just say, baby, do you want to ride my sound machine? She'll say no, but she'll laugh and drop the gun, I think. And say, do you want to hear the story behind my new ink? And she'll say, hey, little man, why can't you see there is a spark? Take off your top, run your shoes, go get it and buy a shot. Writing songs, I go insane. The stuff that sometimes said just puts a static in my brain. It's hard to get things done when my head is full of craziness. Just when I am the busiest, that I seem the laziest. I'm sending up my monkeys on the back of the pink elephant. So it doesn't matter, my lyrics are irrelevant. Tossing out my thoughts like handfuls of confetti. Add a little crumb crumb, I feel better already. My delivery is speedy. Can you feel me? Banana midriff. So appealing, head is in the clouds, and my feet are on the ceiling. The foundation isn't uglier than what it is concealing. My delivery is deep. Can you feel me? Banana midriff. So appealing, head is in the clouds, and my feet are on the ceiling. The foundation is much uglier than what it is concealing. I'm feeling overrated, I'm feeling undersmarted. When you looked me in the eye, that it felt like so retarded. Was it man or was it beast? Or was it just my upper lip? Said an Olympia hippie or a New York City hipster? What's the difference? If y'all say art, make the world better. If it's thrift or if it's vintage, steal your grandpa's sweater either with your tears for you. To reuse, to support corporations by clapping, mass producing. You think I'm preaching to the choir, but I am not. I'm singing with the choir. We are all birds of a different feather. We each sing the way we sing. We are all in this together. You think I'm preaching to the choir, but I am not. I'm singing with the choir. We are all birds of a different feather. We each sing the way we sing. We are all in this together. You think I'm preaching to the choir? I'm not. I'm singing with the choir. We're birds of a different feather. We each sing the way we sing, and we are all in this together. We are all in this together. We are all in this together. Say it with me. We are all in this together. Louder, Granny. All in this together. We are all in this together. Come on, give me guys. We are all in this together. We are all in this together.
From Sugar Mountain from a few years ago, and you can find that my very first video at Greg From Tracks YouTube. Okay, now to the endless horror part of our show. So, but we were going to Canada by way of Sugar Mountain there, so, this is an appeal to the global community, a memorandum on the continuity of genocide in Canada, issued by the Central Directorate of the International Tribunal of Crimes of Church and State on September 30th, 2016. It was October 4th. So, a master plan by the Canadian government and Catholic and Protestant churches to exterminate Indigenous nations has been in operation across Canada since November 25th, 1910, Exhibit 1. The plan was authorized and has been maintained by the Crown of England and its Privy Council Office, the Vatican, and the Roman Catholic, Anglican, and United Church of Canada, along with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, RCMP, local police, judiciary, and private corporations. The plan consisted of a state and church-funded program of systematic intergenerational genocide based initially within the so-called Indian residential school system, established by a federal law on July 1st, 1920, Exhibit 2.
Over a century, that system killed more than half of the children incarcerated within it, or more than 65,000 children. www.murderbydecree.com. It also served as a launching pad for a general campaign of ethnic cleansing aimed primarily at the non-assimilated, predominantly Western Aboriginal tribes, a campaign that continues to the present day. Oh, and before this mouse report is over, I hope to get a little of Graham McQueen's talking about that shootout at the Canadian Parliament, where they sent this guy with a 1890s Winchester with three rounds, and they follow him. They let him get out of the car and run into the Parliament building. The people that these white inferioritists are, saying are defending you, you're going to be in there, and the people defending you, you're going to blow smoke up their ass after they shoot them with their little pistol. After following them and letting them run into your building with a knife, so it's the same. War on our shadows, only elite,